This CD is brought to you by Agape Word Center Church International, located in the heart of Beltsville at 6728A Industrial Drive, Beltsville, Maryland, 20705. Agape is pastored by Pastor Kasana Chongo and Lady C. Now, stay tuned for the word. We hope you will be blessed with this recording.
You know, in life, there are three levels of fathers. We have our Heavenly Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? The God of our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus, is our Heavenly Father. We all have a Heavenly Father. Whether we acknowledge Him or not, we all have a Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. We all have a Heavenly Father. How many in here do not have a Heavenly Father? Or rather, how many have a Heavenly Father? Amen. We all have our Heavenly Father, God. And we also have natural fathers. Everyone in here is a product of a natural father. A natural father is a source of all our genetic composition. He's the one that causes you and me to be born, right? Our natural father. Amen? A natural father, friends, is someone that God teaches us to honor. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother. In fact, it is the first commandment with a promise. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Amen. The nature of fathers, friends, sometimes we have heard people shockingly say they will not honor their earthly fathers because they were non-believers. The Bible does not qualify that you should honor your father because they are a believer. Your father may be the head of the occultic practice in your city and in your state. The Bible says honor them. Oh, I cannot honor my father because they are the ones who have killed half the village. Honor them. Okay, that does not mean you agree with them, but the Bible says you honor them as if your father in your life. Amen. It's the first commandment with a promise. It's so amazing. God never qualified it and said you should only honor your parents because they are sweet, they are nice, because they give you the goodies. No, even if they are mean, you honor them. It does not mean that you will agree with their lifestyle, or you will agree with what they're doing. No, but by virtue of you being a child of or the fruit of their loins, the Bible says you respect them. The Bible says you respect them. You don't throw them on the side. Amen. And then there's also the third level of fathers. It is spiritual fathers. So you have heaven, our Heavenly Father. Then we have spiritual fathers. I mean, we have our natural fathers and we have spiritual fathers. In fact, when you look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 1, he says, obey your parents in the Lord. He's also here now. He is not talking about the natural family. He is talking about your parents who have birthed you in the Lord. He's talking about your spiritual parents. He's saying, obey your spiritual parents in the Lord. Now, today I'd like to talk a little bit about spiritual fathers, because we talk quite a bit about our natural fathers. We talk quite a bit about our Heavenly Father. And also, we need to talk a little bit about our spiritual fathers. Amen. Amen. There's a lot of confusion in the world about spiritual fathers because there's a lot of abuse. Okay. Now, the fact that something has been abused does not make it unbiblical. The fact that something has been abused does not mean that you cannot allow it to work in your life. Amen. It's
Kind of like when you get a car and your car keeps breaking down. You are not going to say, I will no longer have a car. I will start going by bus, right? You just decide to get what? A car that works better than the one you currently have. You know, it is very, very important that we understand that the concept of a spiritual father is something that is biblical. And that's why Paul says, honor your children or your parents in the Lord. All right, while I find Timothy, let's go to Titus chapter 1 and verse number 4. To Titus, a true son in our common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And when you go to 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 2, we see again here, Paul is writing again to Timothy. He wrote to Titus, a true son in the faith. These are people that were birthed in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. He writes to Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, he talks about that. I just wanted to show you that these people were not Timothy's biological children, but these were people that were birthed in the ministry with him and worked with him in ministry. Also, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 15 and 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 15, the Bible reads, "For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you," meaning I have given birth to you through the gospel. "Therefore, I urge you, imitate me." Amen. So what are we seeing there? We are seeing a pattern in which through the birthing of ministry in somebody, by bringing them to the Lord and helping them and mentoring them, they become spiritual sons and daughters of Paul. He was writing here to the church in Corinth. And friends, everyone in life needs a spiritual father. Everyone in life needs somebody who will help them, who will care for them. It is very, very important. When we look even in the Old Testament, I may not give you the exact scriptures here. I think it's in the book of Kings. We see Elisha talking about Elijah, my father, the chariots of Israel. They even told you, your father is being taken away from you, because Elijah was Elisha's spiritual father. We see also the relationship of Moses and Joshua. We see this relationship of a son and a father. We see the relationship of Samuel and Eli. These are the relationships of a spiritual father, son and a father. These are relationships of a son and a father spiritually, not naturally. Amen? So a spiritual father is somebody that is key in your life and whom God raises for a reason and a purpose for you. And I believe every child of God needs a father in their lives. Not just a natural father, but a spiritual father. Sometimes your natural father can also be your spiritual father, because that's the first order of business for a father, is to give spiritual nourishment to his family. Amen. That's the first order of business. I urge you to pick up the CD tape that we release, Family Matters. It talks about the father's responsibilities in there. And so when we look at this, friends, we see that the work of a father, number one, the work of a father, the father's primary goal, the work of a father is to raise you up spiritually, to raise sons and daughters spiritually, in the same way that a natural father raises up their natural children by feeding them, giving them the nutrients. He is their source of knowledge, of understanding, of wisdom. In the same way, a spiritual father's primary goal is to make the son and daughter know and walk in the way of the Lord. Amen. It is very, very important, friends, for us to understand this, that the primary responsibility of a spiritual father is to help you go to know God at a better level, at a higher level, and to point you in the way that you go. That is why, friends, a father's belief system is very, very important. What a father believes in, whether natural or spiritual, is very important, because these are the things that are imparted to the children. Hallelujah. That is why Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, he was telling the Corinthians, imitate me. I am a father to you. I have birthed you. Therefore, your life ought to reflect that which I am releasing into your life. As a natural father, your belief system is important. Because if you don't believe in anything, trust me, your children, unless somebody leads them to the Lord, they will be just like you. They will be just like you. And I see this in the Bible. There is, I think it's in the book of Kings, 1 Kings, I think, 1 Kings chapter 22, I think. 1 Kings chapter 22, we see, go to 1 Kings chapter 22, verse number 51. Verse 51, somewhere there. Yeah. All right. So let's read this. The Bible reads, Ahaziah, depending where you come from, the son of Ahab became king over Israel in Samaria in the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 2 years over Israel. Verse 52. He did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and in the way of his mother and in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel to sin. For he served Baal and worshipped him and provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger according to all that the father had done. So this Amaziah, what is he doing there? He is following the footsteps of a father, the belief system of a father. That is why, friends, a father figure is very important in your life. Many of us may not have natural fathers, but we need to have spiritual fathers. Or we may have natural fathers, but spiritual fathers will take us to places spiritually where natural fathers will not be able to take us. It is very, very important that your belief system as a father needs to be very clear. Because if you do not have any belief, I remember talking to somebody and they were telling me that, look, I've never been to church. I think they were like 23 years old. They said, I've never been to church because church is not what we do. I said, what do you mean church is not what we say? My parents never took me to church. I never went to church. My parents never told me anything about God. So the fact that he was 23 and never believed God was not even his fault. It was because the parents, the father, never put it to his mind to teach the child the things of God. And generationally now, we have generations where the generation past did not value God. And now this generation has become more godless than the generation before. And if we are not careful, the next generation, trust me, friends, the next generation will become very difficult even to preach the gospel in this country unless revival happens. Unless revival happens. So our belief system is very, very important. Look at another father. Go to 1 Kings chapter 15. The Bible reads, go to verse number 9. In the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Asa became king over Judah. And he reigned 41 years in Jerusalem. His grandmother's name was Maacah, the granddaughter of Abishalom. Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord as who? As did his father David. What is that showing you? One did not do what was right in the Lord and followed what? The way of his father. And the other did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed who? The way of his father. So the belief system, the things you believe in are very, very important and very critical and will show up in your home. They will show up in your wife's home, in your wife's life, in your children's life as a father. So it is very, very important that fathers, we understand that our work and primarily is to raise up our people, sons and daughters, to know and to walk in the way of the Lord. We see also, as we see from the story of Paul and Timothy, is that the father's other primary goal is to help the son or daughter fulfill the call of God over their lives. Amen. Fulfill the call of God over their lives. That is very, very important. You know, we see in the book of John chapter number 1 from verse number 35 to 37, when John's disciples saw Jesus walking by, John tells his disciples, who were his spiritual sons, he says, "Behold the Lamb who takes away what? The sin of the world." And what happened? John's disciples followed Jesus. Are we together, friends? Spiritual fathers are important in your life. Spiritual fathers, friends, they will lead you and guide you in your walk with God. Spiritual fathers will bring you to a place of fulfillment in life. I know in this generation today, we have gotten to a place where we feel we don't need spiritual fathers because we have our Father God. Remember, we have our Heavenly Father. We also have our natural fathers, and we have our spiritual fathers. And many times, when we begin to discount this order, it is the same order that Jesus left for us. That is why we see it in the life of Paul. We see it in the life of Timothy and Titus and on and on. Because it is a concept of God about fatherhood. And it is very, very important, friends. Because sometimes because there's so much abuse in some of these things, we feel we are better off. But I remember many, many years ago, I took a journey in search of a spiritual father. Because one day I was praying, and one day the Lord told me, you need somebody to lead you. You need somebody to mentor you, somebody to take you to your next level spiritually. And I actually took like a 2-month research into spiritual fathers. Before I could actually begin to make a decision as to the direction I would go in that matter. But friends, I would like us to look at examples of a great spiritual father. Key issues. And a spiritual father, remember, can also be a natural father. But every one of us needs a spiritual father. When we look at Jesus, hallelujah, this is not an exhaustive teaching on spiritual fatherhood, which I could probably do at a later time. But on this special day, I would like us to also remember, as we celebrate our natural fathers, let's remember who our spiritual fathers are. And when we look at Jesus, in the book of John chapter 17 and verse 6 to 8, Jesus here, he was praying to the Lord, and he was giving his spiritual children unto the Lord, unto God. And he says, "I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word." Verse 7. "Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me." We'll get back to that. Let's go to Mark chapter 3, verse number 13. Mark chapter 3 and verse number 13. Hallelujah. Many of us are looking for breakthroughs, and we are looking for miracles, and we are looking for signs and wonders. Many times your package is locked up in your spiritual father. And the Bible reads in Mark chapter 3, "And he went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him." These are the same ones he's praying for in John chapter 17, verse 14. Let's read up to 15. "And then he appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach." That they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. Number one, let's look at about maybe 5, 6, 7 points here. Number one, we see example of a great spiritual father who, Jesus. Jesus invested time in the disciples. Amen. Jesus invested time in the disciples. A spiritual father will invest time in the people that is mentoring. A spiritual father, remember, could be a mother or a father. But here we are talking about fathers. And it's the same concept. The work of a spiritual father, remember, is to raise you up spiritually. So how will I do that? I will invest time in you. A spiritual father will invest time in the people that he's mentoring. That's why Jesus calls them that they might be what? They might be with him. When you look at it, for 3.5 years, Jesus ate with his people, walked with his people wherever they went. Time and time again, they would go back to their homes. Like we see Peter, his mother-in-law being sick, and he goes back to the house. Jesus eating meals at Peter's mother's house. So we see that time and time they went back. But primarily, they spent time. Jesus did what? He invested himself. He poured himself into them. That's why you see the Bible says in John 17, it says, I have manifested everything. I have shown them. Fathers, each one of us, we can mentor somebody. When you lead somebody to the Lord, or your children, are you investing time in them? Are you spending time with your children, teaching them the way of the Lord, helping them to fulfill the call of God on their lives, pointing them to Jesus? You need to invest time in them. The Bible number two, a spiritual father will release knowledge and wisdom. Jesus imparted knowledge and wisdom. He counseled them, gave them understanding where they were not sure. Many times when you read from Matthew to John, we see so many examples of Jesus teaching his disciples, correcting them, giving them counsel, showing them what to do. That's what a spiritual father does. But you will notice that it's a two-way street. The Bible always said, and when they were together, the disciples came to Jesus and asked him. It is not a one-way street. Many times when it is a one-way street, it becomes a one-way relationship. It's kind of like your father always asking you where you are. You never take time to find out how your father woke up. You never take time to know whether he even went to work or not. It's only when you need that pocket money, when you need him to do something, then you remember, oh, daddy is there. No, it's a two-way street. Hallelujah. So it's important. It's a two-way street. And many times fathers, and remember, we're talking about natural and spiritual fathers. These concepts are the same. A father, friends, many times he'll feel like he's imposing on his children. And so you find even if he wants to check on them, he will stay back because he wants to give room to the children. Amen. So it is a two-way street. The disciples will go back to Jesus and they would ask him, oh, how are these things done? Oh, what about this? Oh, what about that? Whenever they were together, the disciples were always interacting with Jesus. So he was teaching them and they were responding. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, do you have a spiritual father? You need a spiritual father who will invest time in you. Who will teach you? Friends, there are some things your natural father will not be able to tell you. Because he has not been where a spiritual father has been. And there are some things a natural father may be uncomfortable telling you. But a spiritual father, because their job is to take you to the next level, their job is to bring out the best in you. Hallelujah. How many know that somebody never helps you if they just gloss over your issues? They don't help you at all. But when they address them lovingly, and they talk to you, they let you know, Theo, baby, here, you need to do this. It is up to you to follow, because all they're doing is mentoring and giving advice and coaching you, but it's up to you to follow the advice. Friends, every one of us, we need fathers in this house. Locate somebody that you can begin to mentor. Locate somebody that you begin to invest your time in. Locate somebody that you begin to release truths in your word. I remember one time I was with this young man who came to know the Lord in my home. And that young man kept me awake and kept me studying the word, because he had every night, 10 p.m., he would be coming knocking at the door without appointment. And he would show up and he would start asking me questions. And certain things I did not know. I was also just growing up. I just used to be Brother C then. I was just growing up and would talk till midnight. You know? And so there are times, friends, that you need somebody who will open your door. And you'll be able to talk to them. You are not afraid. You are not ashamed. A spiritual father is somebody you tell your issues, your deepest issues, so they can help you spiritually. Hallelujah. We see number three, that Jesus led by example. Jesus, number one, Jesus spent time with his disciples. Number two, he taught them. Number three, he did what? He led by example. He served. A spiritual father will lead by example. He will serve. He's not going to be an armchair father and telling you what to do, but he himself is not doing it. You see, the Bible says that Jesus did what? He led them. They were doing what? He led them when he was casting out devils, when he was teaching, he would be teaching them. He says, oh, you see this thing we just did, this is what needs to happen. He led them to serve. He washed their feet. He showed them what to do. A father leads by example. So you need to ask yourself, do you lead by example? As a natural father, as a spiritual father, you need to lead by example. Trust me, remember what we said earlier. What you do, don't think your children will do it differently. They will do exactly what you do. They may hear you say, don't do what I do, but they will do exactly what you do, and they will tell their children as well, don't do what I do. Huh? Friends, a spiritual father will open doors for you that no man can open for no other man, because God wires them up to do things in such a way. Hallelujah. We see in verse number 15 that Jesus empowered his disciples. He empowered them to do what? To heal, to cast out devils, to do things. We also see that Jesus demonstrated how to do ministry by going with them. And many times we see that Jesus was patient with the disciples, even when he released them into ministry. Jesus did not lord it over them. Friends, a spiritual father is somebody that has an interest in your life. I remember, friends, I can point to issues and times in my life where my ministry moved forward or my walk with God moved forward because of the input of a spiritual father. Hallelujah. I remember even hungering for the things of the Holy Ghost, the things of the Holy Spirit. I was just there as a nominal Christian in church and doing things and loving God until God connected me. And when God connected me with the Father, I began to be hungry for the things of God. We saw what Paul said. He said, you may have 10,000 instructors. There'll be many people that will teach you, but you need fathers in your life. You need fathers in your life. Fathers are not perfect because nobody is perfect. But you need a father, a spiritual father who will push you. Every one of us, we need somebody in life. I remember many times people would ask me, well, how? And then as I was praying and God led me to a father, and the Lord led me to my spiritual father, Bishop Joe. And I remember many times people would say, oh, well, you're going to ministry in Europe. You're going to ministry where? But it is because I had a spiritual father who one day called me. And why? Because he wants to empower me. Because he's investing time in me. He is teaching me. He is training me. He says, I'm going to England. I'll be in England for a conference. You need to come. And guess what? I got on a plane and I went to England. And that conference, I met Reverend Katie Bosman. He connected me. Connected me to Reverend Edmond Saki Brown. Guess what? I come back the next time. I'm in Germany ministering. Why? Because I had a spiritual father who did what? Who opened doors for me. Are you hearing me, friends? That is how these things work. I've been to New Zealand so many times. I'll be going traveling by the grace of God again in the next couple of months to New Zealand. But that door was, it didn't just happen. It happened because I have a spiritual father who says, hey, Pastor Friday, you need to connect with my son in the U.S. And guess what? We connect. Why? Because a spiritual father empowers and releases and opens doors. Are you hearing me, friends? That is how God works. And then mentorship continues. You can look even in church or in the ministry when Paul births Timothy and he trains Timothy and he releases him. He becomes a pastor in Ephesus. He trains Titus, releases him and becomes a pastor where? In Crete. What is that saying, friends? You need a spiritual father in life. Every one of us at different levels. Amen. Just giving you an example, but every one of us, we need a father. Many times we've discounted fathers because we feel they are not good enough for us. Even if your spiritual father has no pair of shoes, he is your father. He birthed you. He instructed you. Many times we feel because I'm more anointed, I'm better than so and so, I can do this better. We forget about our spiritual fathers. But today on this Father's Day, let's remember who our fathers are, who have brought us to where we are, who are helping us pray, who are instilling the spiritual disciplines in our lives. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. It's very, very important that we do this. Because when we do that, you begin to receive blessings. You begin to receive blessings. The Bible says that it is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you. Ephesians chapter number 6, it says, obey your parents in the Lord. He was not talking about your natural parents. He was talking about your spiritual parents. So that it may be what? It may be well with you. Sometimes, all you need is a word from your father. It shall be well. It shall be well. That's all you need, a word from your father. A word from your father, friends, will change things. You know how as children we rush to our parents, mommy, daddy, and they give us a word, even though the situation hasn't changed, but there's a word, and that word encourages us. And you continue to move with that word. May you locate a father. For many of you, I am your spiritual father. And for many of you, you may choose not to accept me as a father. But if I've begotten you in the Lord, and you sit under my teaching, you sit under my training, and I'm checking on you, calling on you, taking you with my only goal is your spiritual increase, then I become your father. I'm not perfect. I have my flaws. But you look beyond my flaws, and you look to what you can draw from me and through me. Hallelujah. That is how God's order works. That is how God's order works. Shall we rise to our feet? I pray and trust that this little snippet on spiritual fatherhood will help you. Yes, the fact that there is abuse does not mean that it is not biblical. For many of you, your blessing is tied into your relationship with your spiritual father. And it's time for you to exploit it. Sometimes we've ignored these things, but they are simple truths. They are simple truths that it is important for us to do. We begin to feel we don't need God. We don't need it because we have God. Yes, but God works with order. God works with order. Because if we do not need it, we would not have the example of a Timothy, of a Titus, of a Paul, saying in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, it says, my little children, of whom I labor again in birth until Christ is formed in you. What is he saying there? He's saying, my children, I'm laboring for you in prayer. I'm laboring for you in word. I'm laboring for you, praying for you, fasting for you, until Christ be seen, until the call of God is seen in your life. Today, if nothing else, remember this one word, honor your fathers. Honor your fathers, that it might be well with you. Amen. Amen. Shall we pray?